Blog Talk Radio.
I will stand up and fight for all rights. I will find a way to survive. Not an easy way out, easy way out. Fighting to be free. It's not an easy way out, easy way out. Trapped in society. It's not an easy way. It's a troubled world, yes I know. The signs of the times, yes it shows. See corruption as it grows. When will it end? Only Jaja knows. And so much injustice, we gotta fight it. Good over evil must prevail. Is too much for a fool, cause we've got the knowledge of where we can mold them. Jah is in control.
Once again, it's Sunday night, and everybody knows that is the Ethiopian World Federation Common Incorporated, the Local 26, the Women's Auxiliary with the host herself, with so many interesting things internationally and nationally, the host with the most, the sister like no other. The information that you're going to discover is like no other. See, that's rhyming there. Give a nice hand for sisters. Sadie Gomez, let's give a nice hand again. Are you all getting lazy now? Okay.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so very much to my very kind co-host, Dr. Ron Robinson. You have so much fun on the Sundays, but we'll let you know that on Sundays, this is Sadie Sundays, where we talk the truth. We have the truth, and we talk about the things that otherwise other people would not discuss, because that's how we do it on this side of town. We are going to discuss today Mr. Trump in so many ways, but I would say, darling Mr. Trump. So for all my listening audience this evening, this is Sadie Gomez of Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26, for the Women Auxiliary. So, Dr. Robinson, do we have the queen in the house this evening?
We got the queen in the house herself, Sister Olavisi. Let's give her a nice hand, y'all.
This one will like a karaoke night.
Well, 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 Queen. It's your evening.
Correct me, people. Queen Olabisi. Give her a nice hand again.
It's a love fest on Sunday.
I know we know that this thing is not going anywhere. Who knows that this thing is not going anywhere? Are we naive to think that they will actually do something to him?
Well, no.
Okay. So I feel good to hear that.
They gotta put on a show, you know. They gotta make it look real.
They put on a good show. It's a good enough show. Like, woo, and you have all these folks giving round of applause just like you did, you know? But they know. The truth is, this is going nowhere.
It's a charade.
You understand? Because they control that.
I believe, like you're saying, Sister Olabisi, it's a method to get more votes. I'm going to tell you something. The first thing he did is, check this out. Did y'all check out the fact that he identified every district attorney in the United States that's coming after him? And what they all have in common, they're all black, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, they're coming to get us. Then he prays, I don't know if you and Sister Sadie heard, he said, these black people are prejudiced. They're racist, and they're coming after us.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's galvanizing not only his constituency, but a lot of whites in America are fearful. Think about it. Anything we do together, anytime me and Mayor March, all black people, we say nobody else, we want all black men. Even though the women came, we ain't going to get mad at y'all. But we say no white people. There's all black men coming together trying to be united and change the situation in our community. What do you see pop up? I was at Mean Man March. White men all over the place. Getting in your business, trying to find out what's going on. They just feel so beguiled when we get together in unity for ourselves. And
yeah, because that's our power and our strength.
And he understands the fear of us coming together, and he understands that he uses that
exercise
fear.
It often enough, and that scares them.
Yes.
And rightfully so.
Yes.
They should be scared.
And
I make no apologies.
And that's why
somebody
you see all of them get on
scared.
Television. Right, and you see all of them getting on talking what they're saying. Oh, that's going to make all of us vote more for him because they're attacking him. They are attacking him. See, the white Americans use a lot of, signal words to each other. And when they say they, even though you got some black ignorance, you got some black crazy people, you know, fighting for him as well in those in those marches and stuff like that. You know, but they keep saying they. And he keeps saying they coming after us. Remember when BLM was marching, he said, they're coming for your houses. They're coming to take your car. They're coming to take your home. And you saw crazy white people got guns and went out to the front of their lawns with these guns, fearful that somebody's coming and going to walk in their house and take over their home. The psychology that he uses to get votes and support, because one thing I said, one thing you got to look at, he's getting a lot of support or for sympathy for things that people don't even understand. You know, most of these when they talk on his behalf, they don't even know what the 34. He got 34 counts. It's several different things that's implementing that particular, you know, reason they stand. There's several different counts and several different reasons why it got to the point where it's at now. When you hear the people talk, his constituency, all they say is they're coming after us, they're coming after us, they're coming after us. And that's the narrative right now. And we're going to vote. We're going to support him. We're going to protect our country. We're going to keep our country, blah, 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 blah. And to me, as a person growing up in the segregated South, growing up in racism in this America, when I hear words like we and them coming to get us, that tells me division. That tells me a racist behavior that goes on in this country for all these 400 years. That's how they galvanize their constituency. But also, that's how they put fear in some of the liberal Democrats, if you will, or some of the white people that might stay neutral to a lot of this craziness. That's how they put fear into them to the point where they now want to participate in this whole, you know, scheme of things, thinking that they're protecting something. They don't know what they're protecting, but they feel like, I'm protecting my children, I'm protecting my home. You know, it goes yeah. crazy.
But Dr. Robinson, let me interrupt you for a second here. You know, with all the counts that this guy has to face, there's one count I'm really puzzled about. He has a felony count. I wonder who got killed in the process. Because, you know, Queen, I wonder if it was an animal that got killed in the process, because, you know, there was a lot of pussy business going around, so we don't know if a cat died along the way. But what was the felony count for? Because Stormy Horsfield Daniels, he said he took no part of it.
Again, they would have created an atmosphere and a narrative that would fit what they want to express. So even till now, some of those so-called indictments are just smoke screens with no fruition behind it.
Well, it's a witch hunt. I mean, how much things has he done? I thought all he did was pass some bad money to Mark Cohen, and there the story just blew up, and the poor man has 35 pounds. What kind of witch hunt is it?
A Stormy hunt.
Because Stormy Horses, Daniel, he said he had nothing to do with it.
Putting all joke aside, just for one hilarious minute. Had I slept with that man, that would have been a secret I took to my grave. I'm moving forward.
I would have to do the same. Oh, my God. Some things are not worth publishing.
You understand? I mean, you know, I don't even understand how she was so brave enough to have even admitted that, yes, they would have had to have me hanging over a barrel. And even at that point, I would be pleading the fifth.
I can see it now. Thank God it's not television, it's only radio.
Okay. I plead the fifth. The fifth.
Well, as Shaggy said, it wasn't me.
Okay. The fifth.
No, but you know, for one other serious moment, me as a lawyer, now Mark Cohen, how could you get caught in such foolishness about passing money? Aren't you not smart enough to get some crackhead and give him $5,000 so he can give her the money? What did you get yourself involved in all of that, Mark Cohen? How stupid could you be? You're a lawyer. Get a crackhead down there and give him $5,000. Let him pass the money to Stormy. You will make a deal after that.
So hold on. Do you understand that to pass that money, he was also given money?
But how he end up making a jail for it, I'm saying.
Well, that is the whole thing, eh? When you dirty your fingers, these are some of the repercussions. But, I mean, the truth
well,
is...
Well, you know, in that type of business, money pass every day and nobody gets arrested. I mean, come on now. You know what time it is.
Yes. But I
there's
know
a passing and exchange of money all along that way. I don't know how somebody is making a jail for this something.
Well, nobody is going to make a jail, I can assure you of that.
But Well, come Tuesday, somebody's getting arrested.
Well, of course, there will be formalities that will take place. The surrendering of oneself, and, you know, but it's just formality. None of this is real.
And what do we say? The show goes on?
The show going on. Do you remember how many people he installed in judicial hierarchy that may not have ever found themselves there had it not been for him assigning them via executive order?
Well, he has the high court where he wants them.
Precisely. A man, make sure that you tenured and you are now a judge, a sitting judge, where before you might have been slaving on the court and nobody even saw your accomplishment. The one person who actually saw your accomplishment, you think you're going to turn on him? How do they know?
Well, we know he'll be back in power. That we know for sure. So this whole big
you just
wait around and see how this story is going to go. You just wait around and see. It will not make the 6 o'clock news, but I assure you, what is going to happen is going to happen.
Well, I could tell you one thing: if that man get back in power, we should just be packing our bags.
Well, in case you don't know, my darling, my bag is already packed at the front door because I don't need much to go where I'm going. I already have a comfortable slippers, my lovely white dress T-shirt, and some. I'm telling you where I'm going. I don't need a coat. My bags are packed. And when they sound the trumpet, I am telling you, I'm first on the ship.
Okay.
We're
going on ship again.
So we came, so shall we return.
Okay.
This time it will be the cruise ship.
Dr. Robinson,
I'm entering the tunnel, however, so I don't know. Dr. Robinson, is there anyone else in the queue? S. Queen is talking to him.
347-907.
Okay.
I am on.
So
rest in conclusion to the court and the rest of Virgin and Christian.
Yes, sir.
If, I am late. Could you brief me in on the topic?
We are speaking indictment this evening. Indictment of our former. As a matter of fact, he has forbidden people to call him former president.
No, he is still the president.
He should be just referred to as President Trump.
It's more appropriate.
Yes.
Okay, caller, you can chime in on what's going on for this Sunday evening.
Good evening and blessings to everyone.
Welcome.
Please brief me in on the topic.
Well, what we're talking about today is the fact Trump has to turn himself in on Tuesday. And we are wondering if this is for real, what's really going on, or what do you feel about, you know, him turning himself in concerning the charges that have been laid to him. I understand it's like 35 counts, you know, of whatever is going on. So tell us what you know about it, how you feel.
Well, God is the judge of the earth, and every man has to give account for his doings on earth. So it might not catch up with you same time, but you know, when you least think that your judgment day will come upon you, you know. So every man has to give account for their lives, and I think what is happening now is he's giving account for his life and his doings. So may God help him all.
Why we put in God to help him when he's being indicted by humans? He's under human indictment, not spiritual indictment.
Don't care how we are wicked, we still want God's mercy. You know?
Oh,
don't
I
care
see. and you would want to extend some mercy towards him.
No, no, not me. The Almighty, because what he sows is what he's reaping now, so, you know.
Okay. Yes. So if he has not sown mercy, should he reap mercy?
Well, what he sows, he will reap. You know, that's what it is.
Okay.
Yes. Whatever you sow, that's what you will reap. So mankind must be careful of what they are sowing, you know, because the seed doesn't rise up same time, you know.
Okay.
It has a time when it's ripe. So maybe it's doing this right now. So he has to know how to deal with it, you know. Yes.
Well, Paula, you surely talk about mercy, and when you talk about that, all I can think about is the 51st Psalm, whereby David begged for mercy, and David himself, you know, was a great son of the Almighty. So mercy is there, and Father said, I will have mercy, and whom I'll have mercy. So mercy gates are open wide every day, and we are there to beg for mercy as thou see it forth, or see it fit. So we hope that, you know, something will be extended unto Mr. Trump. And we all know whatever we sow, that shall we reap.
Category of hope, please.
Yes,
what category
is
it, Queen?
Do not include me in that we that are hoping for mercy for Mr. Trump.
No, no, no. I said mercy gates are open wide every day for anyone.
Yes.
Come forth. As
yes.
they may see it fit, because the Father say, I will have mercy, and whom I will have mercy. But thank God, I am not the Father, and he can do what he can do. He's God alone, and besides him, there is no other. It is only Sadie for Sadie Sundays, where we speak the truth, and we are not afraid to do so. So, Dr. Robinson, let me know who else is hanging out in the studio at this time.
They're not hanging out yet.
Okay, so let us have the Queen and the caller trash it out.
As I'm saying, guys, this idea of we are hoping that he could come and beg for mercy, I am saying there must have been an established relationship between him and the person who he has to beg for mercy now. So let him go to the people who he has extended friendship and have them, which is what he will do. I mean, he has certainly put sufficient people in power to be exonerated in this. I mean, who do you think would be so foolish as to help prosecute him? Nobody. Next thing, bodies started drop like a certain person and his wife who had Haiti under control.
Well, you know, we can speak this on Saturday Sunday, so don't be afraid. There's no holding back here, because bodies can be dropping like fly.
Like
yes.
Billy,
yes.
Billy and Hilly. Billy and Hilly. Drop bodies.
Well, you know, with Billy and Hilly, people can just disappear, you know, without
a
trace.
That's
people
why,
People drunk in a half bucket, a half glass, a teacup of water. People drunk.
You know,
Once
I was writing a song. Are you hearing me?
Yes,
once I was writing a song, and a person who heard the song says to me, what kind of song is that you're writing, Shiloh? And I said, be careful of your past, attack you in the present. So that is, this song was written for this man also. Not him alone still, but always like that. Be careful of your past, attack you in the present. Because there is hell and there is heaven. So be careful of your past. Attack you in the present. This is what is happening to him now. His past is attacking him in the present right now. So, you know.
Corley, you know, I do sympathize with him, but I hope that if he had kept his skeleton's tightly locked in the closet that it should have supposed to be in, he may not have had this problem right now.
Yes, but that's so true. But the thing is, the Almighty is so merciful and forgiving. Maybe he has some time now to examine his negative part of his negative part of him, you know? His negativity, you know?
But Koala, you know, just for a moment here, let me just play the devil advocate here, Koala. For many have sinned and fall short of the glory, so who are you to point fingers now?
I am not pointing finger.
I am just saying for all those who want to cast, for all those who are without sin and want to cast the first stone, I say.
Yes,
I said they are stone first.
Once you're alive, you can have salvation. And this is now the time for him to seek salvation before it's too late, you know.
Well, let him seek it after he did.
There is no confession in the grave. He can confess all his sins now and find him way home for righteousness, you know.
Well, where is home? Peter,
look, there's a
road by the gate.
Where is home? Bunny.
Well,
right now, he's not in a nice nor a safe position. So, you know, I think he might need a savior with him right now. And now is the time for him to seek God before it's too late. It's not too late. Once you're alive, it's not too late, you know. Things have to happen to people for them to draw closer to the Almighty, you know. Yeah.
They're getting soft.
No, we're not getting soft, sis. This is just revelation, and this has to be fulfilled.
Oh,
yes.
My brother, so all that forgiveness there. You even let the man get a little bit of pressure?
We're not passing no judgment this evening. It is only April 2nd.
I wish this was yesterday. I would have been saying I ain't passing no judgment.
It was yesterday. We have a different sense of what's going on.
If it was yesterday, I would have sang the same song in chorus. Okay? Because at that time, it would have been April Fool's Day, so I could have said anything.
But the sad part about it is, he's not the only one who have done such, and really,
no.
And fully, he's just really sitting at the wrong table like all the rest of them, and when all is said and done, they all lift their glasses together, dance around the fire, and sing Kumbaya, and laugh at the foolish sheepers that they have fooled along the way. So let's get it all real here. They are knights of the round table, every single one of them. Ah.
Okay. You understand anything? Very well. So I'm not trying to even conjure up no kind of movie story.
Oh, no, we are merely having fun with the conversation this evening. This is just comedy hour, because how could we take such an illusion seriously? Are we serious? This whole thing is an illusion. It's not to be taken seriously, but to be treated the same way we are treating it right now, as comedy, because we know very well how they are connected at the top and what they do at the rest. The 10% who's connected, the rich, and they're connected, and they laugh at the servants at the bottom. So now we're just having fun with the subject this evening. Who's taking it seriously? Mr. Trump is not going back in jail. Mr. Trump is going to go right back into power, rogue style, because he's a bad boy like that. Wait and see. This is just comedy hour with
the
subject.
He's just going through the motion. You know, he's not going
That's
to be
all it is.
Shall
you not get Benitez out of shape like a president? We will be wasting our time, because none of this makes sense or supposed to. It's merely a distraction for what is to come. And what is to come, shall we be serious about it, is the New World Order. So while we hee-hee-ha-ha about all of this, and Mr. Trump has posed the major direction, they're going to slip right onto us, that New World Order, and before we know it, it's too late, because here will come the mark of the beast, as Revelation says. So basically, distractions are there and placed in our way so that the real thing and the real agenda could be put into place while we are running around like chickens without head. This is all this is all about. So may we have a wonderful comedy hour. What is it, Sadie? Sunday for Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated Local 26 coming to you live and alive, discussing the things that we normally don't talk about, but today we will. So, Dr. Robinson, let me know who else is there.
I'm not yet.
So you give me your views, Dr. Robinson. And we have a very special guest this evening, but we would have to find out if he's available. Are you sleeping? You want to talk? Okay.
You were saying where the felony conviction came in. The felony conviction comes in lying to a congressional hearing, a federal court, up in the initial beginning, about the campaign finances not being used to pay off Stormy Daniels, and that's where the federal part comes in. But like you say, this thing could take many, many turns. I know that it's going to cause a lot of division in the United States. People are going to be divided. Going to be a lot of you're going to see more hatred, more demon behavior, and more demonic behavior, and things are going to be done. You know, it's going to turn into a three-ring circus. It's going to get crazy. You know what I'm saying? This is historical. And he's turned it into a method because he started talking about he was going to get arrested, this and this and this and all this stuff, way before any grand jury, way before any hearing. He was already predicting that he's going to get indicted, and he's going to get arrested, and et cetera. Rising people up to give more money to the campaign and more people to support his campaign, and get more others to vote for him. So he's always been like, you know, he didn't care about what the political sector think about him. He always get to the people.
He's a businessman, Dr. Robinson, you know, because he don't really care what's going to happen concerning even this full indictment, hullabaloo, because he know he can capitalize on this and make money off of this, and he will. So this is really, he's happy to be in the news again. They're feeding right into the story. He wants to be in the news. He's on the lips of people once more. They're talking about him, and he's enjoying it. So this is really his moment.
Oh, yeah. He is using this moment to increase his possibility of maintaining the Republican Party's endorsement for president.
And he's going to maintain his status as a leading Republican nominee simply because he has a lot of people behind him, whether we like it or not. There were 17 million people behind him the last time. That's a big number.
And he's going to increase that now because of the way he structured his government. Right. So he has half the people before, half of the American population is for him, half is against him. The strategy is to make this whole thing give him more support, increase his half into above half, so that he can secure his position for the nomination for presidential candidate under Republicans. And then the second thing, to get the general election as well by galvanizing both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats as well. So It's a strategy,
and indeed, if anybody is watching, this man is playing politics at a very high level. This man is good at what he's doing. At the end of the day, it's how many people vote for you that place you inside of there. So whether he's good, bad, or indifferent, he knows how to play the game. And this is what we have to wonder, because he was the president at one time. While everybody was laughing and thinking he was a joke, he became the president. And then we had to laugh and say, oh, my God, look who is ruling us. But it came as a joke. Nobody thought he could have won the presidency, and he did. All because he knows how to play the game of politics. He just knows how to do it.
Well, yeah, that's a part of it. You know, he knows his constituency. He knows his strategy. He knows his methodology, and he knows which way he's going to go with this whole process to win over the voters.
Oh, yes, because he did one time before.
You know. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But America's not that complicated. All you got to do is put fear in what they call the majority population, the influence, those that got that level of power. All you got to do is continue to, you know, make them feel fear and make them want to take back something that they never had, which is what they consider their country. And you would galvanize a lot of people from his persuasion. It's going to galvanize a lot of them, because they always felt something was slipping away from them. Somebody's taking something that's in all reality is not real. Nobody's taking nothing from nobody. It makes for good politics, and it helps him get the votes that he need to go forward in getting elected the party favorite, and then go on to a general election and get, you know, most Americans to support it. That's his strategy.
Well, indeed it is, because what we are seeing also, you know, as you say, fair, even for Tuesday with what is supposed to happen concerning, you know, the arraignment of Mr. Trump, the city is preparing to have a lot of areas barricade. There's extra police outside, and there's a big security risk almost. So we are seeing that they know that he is indeed powerful, you know, whether his charm is angelic or diabolic, he do have charisma. And it's dangerous to know he's walking around there sounding his trumpet. There are people who's heavily behind him, and we ought to be aware of that and not just think, oh, he's a joke. So this is what we need to stay conscious of with him as a powerful person, because indeed it might look stupid, but there's a lot of people behind him and a heavy force. So that we have to be always aware of when we speak of that trumpet. So here we are. Is there anybody else in the studio that may want to chime in, Dr. Robinson?
Oh, yes. 929-586.
Okay, 929-586, your mic is open. You to join us,
yes,
welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sister Sadie. And
oh, welcome, brother.
Okay. You know, this is, there is no difference between now and yesterday. And I say that only because we weren't allowed to vote then. You know, we weren't allowed to read, you know, participate in the process, you know, of voting. But Donald Trump is doing the same thing that white supremacy has been doing for the past 300 years today. You know, perpetrator fraud. Anytime that he feels intimidated, was like the slave masters in the system in the 1700s, 1800s, you know, and the 1900s, you know, and even the 20th century. Here you have people that will put the blame on the lesser people. You know, you've got to remember, like in World War II, when we were fighting for our rights. Then, you know, and before that with Garvey and stuff like that, You know, all they can shout is, well, communism. These people will follow are communists, you know, and they have a communist agenda. And these black people and liberals, you know, which mainly Hollywood and stuff like that, you know, they're under the communists, you know. And when you look at who was prominent, there were two political factions in from World War II, the 1940s to 1950s even, and that was Nazism, all right, and that was communism. You know, Hitler's people were right here in Manhattan, in Harlem. So it was a Nazi, you know. Now we have a situation here where the same thing applies. All those people that are yelling and screaming, you know, about being unfair, you know, and stuff, they either blame it on the black people, you know, poor white people, somebody else. There is no one in the Republican Party at this point, and nor there will be, you know, if the Democratic Party doesn't have win the next election, which I don't trust them either, that will correct the situation that's happening here. It'll take another two terms or better, you know, and so on. And still, what goes on is the browning of America. This is what they don't want to see, all right? And the wealth gap shrinking, you know, between whites and blacks, or whites and people of color. The good old boys, the trailer park crash, you know, that the only reason why they're better than us is because they're white, you know. So it's the same street. It's just gotten a little wider, you know, and I don't expect anything from the Republican Party. I expect a little more from the Democratic Party, but I do not trust them either. You got to be careful. We got to watch that.
What exactly are you expecting from the Democratic Party as far as the agenda goes? Because I was quite disappointed when I watched 2 days ago when I saw Kamala Harris in Ghana trying to push the LGBTQ alphabet community agenda upon the Ghanaians. And some words came out of her mouth, and I was quite disappointed even from a woman or a Democratic point of view, even from a democracy. She's telling the Ghanaian people that she will have painful sanctions imposed upon them if they will not accept the LGBTQ. So here we have the Democratic Party advancing themselves into African society, bringing their filth. So when I hear about Democratic Party, it just makes me very nauseated. So please, let us go on and as my brother, as you continue, talk about what expecting from the Democrats or the Republics. So what do you expect? What is the agenda, really?
What I expect is just taking further advantage of the wealth of Africa, and as all the countries are doing now. There are countries in Africa right now that's saying, we ain't going to stand for this shit. We don't go with that. Okay, and within this party, the LGBTQ, whatever, tied themselves to civil rights and human rights, which is the biggest lie, you know, that Democrats and liberals and even us black people, you know, because we accept everybody.
So this is exactly what I'm talking about, my brother. I'm glad you bring it forward, because they are trying to put their rights in the same line as civil rights. And you have the Democratic Party heavily behind that. So this is quite a big disappointment. What it is, as we talk about the Democratic Party, what is the agenda for the people?
Yeah. You have to look at, don't look at the left hand while the right hand is going up your butt. You know,
I need to have a visual on that.
you know,
in this day and age, of Sodom.
that was the quickest thing I could think of at this time.
The day and age of Sodom and Gomorrah, oh my God.
You know, so, you know, distraction, all right, for the agenda, so they can sort of kind of please everyone. Since this LGBT, the gay movement, you know, which has a long history, there were parties in Harlem in the United States in the 40s, 30s, and so on, across dressing and all that other kind of stuff. This is not nothing new. All right, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just that we're getting information faster, and we're seeing it because we can travel more and travel faster, and we're seeing it in real time in our face. Would you ride
let me just stop you for a second. There's one thing I really can't agree upon. You, when you say there's nothing new about it, there's something quite new about it. In fact, that right now they are trying to forcibly impose this agenda within other societies.
Yes.
It has never been like that before. In a matter of fact, the word gay only came about the last 10 years. First of all, they were homosexuals, and that was something frowned upon. And then after we say gay, we are happy and jolly and what? Don't worry, we're happy and we're having a good old time. Now I'm seeing they're forcing and imposing and threatening societies if you do not accept. This is a new thing happening. And the Democratic Party is responsible for this. Mr. Trump never said anything about gays. Mr. Trump, as a matter of fact, he talked about women and special parts of them. So when we are speaking about an agenda, we are seeing the Democratic Party, namely the VP in Africa, saying these words 2 days ago. I will impose painful sanctions upon you people, my people, for not accepting the alphabet community. Nonsense. It should burn in hell.
It is absolute. And the attitude that the Africans have always taken.
But I am just saying, Mr. Trump, on the other hand, he don't push that agenda. You know, I feel very safe with Mr. Trump in the office because I know two men cannot marry because he did not push that agenda.
So what are we looking at?
In the righteousness of the Almighty God, Democrats and Republic. Fire will burn and we should live in hell.
If we toss the coin and it lands on its side, we're doing good. That's the side of God. If it stands up on its edges, it's the side of God. If it goes either heads or tails, we have issues. We're going to have issues no matter what. They're saying to us that they're directing us to this topic of gays, you know, of LGBTQ, transgender, and all of it, while they take away everything else and control and take away everything else. So here we're fighting for civil rights, civil rights, voting rights, you know, the right not to be redlined, you know, to be paid money, have health care, you know, and so on and so forth. And they tie all of this into everybody should be having health care. The children, women, men, you know, they should have health care. All right. And they've made it so expensive. Even if you pay for your own insurance, you got to be rich to do that. You know, with some of these insurance companies, the socialist aspect of the United States is that, you know, everybody should have a job. Everybody should be fed. You know, everybody should have an education and so on. And those that are not able to that, they should have a chance to grow into that. In the 60s, when people went on welfare, their schools were paid for. You know, it was school free. And as they left school in college and stuff, they wind up being social workers some in other areas. We don't have that anymore, okay, and so on. So this whole LGBT, it's a distraction. We know that this is wrong in the eyes of our Father, the Most High. We know that. And those that are, of us that disagree with that, we disagree with that. We're still commanded to pray, you know. But these other things of our civil liberties, you know, and rights, you can take the Republicans be right on one side. Listen, do for self. You know, well, in this country, every time we try to do for self, they burned us down. You know, they ran us off the land. you know, and so on, and saying, you know, you're lazy, you're this, you're that, and everything. And meanwhile, in 250 years, 275 years, we've built this country to be the greatest country on the most powerfulest country. Now, I won't say the greatest, the most powerfulest country on the face of the earth. So these things that come in play are distractions. And as long as the Republican Party is paying attention, using that for their agenda, and that's the only agenda they have, because they have nothing. They have nothing to. They have nothing that they're saying about feeding people, educating people. They want to stop education. They want to burn books. They want to do all of this. This hurts everybody, including their lower white class and their middle class. You know, so you got a board and you're trying to hammer a nail, and you miss the hammer and hit your foot. You know, this one. We have to be smart in what we vote for. On the ballot, you got agendas. You know, you vote for this, you vote for, you check off this, you check off that, and then what you don't agree with, you check it off. All right, and that's what I do when I go on the voting booth. I read, you know, and I follow the politics, you know, and the people. I've never been a knee jerk voter, you know, but a lot of us are, you know. So we have to, when we go into the voting booth, if we have the right to vote, because it looks like that's going to be taken away from us, you know, vote our conscience. We're not going to vote for it, don't vote for it. We can talk about it all we want, you know, but you don't want that, don't vote for it, you know, and so on. And that's why it's important for those of us to be involved in our communities, in the politics, and, you know, and so on, to see, you know, because most people are too busy working. They're supporting their families, you know, and everything. They go to the voters, if they vote, they go to the voters and they say, oh, yeah, I know him, I'll vote. Yeah, I'll just vote for this. You know, they don't even read it. They just go in and click it, and that's it. You know, that's a problem that we have. That's a problem also that we have with black people. They're not going to vote because they don't agree with one thing. That's stupid. And it's working against ourselves. You vote for what you agree with.
Can I interject a little?
Oh, yes, Queen.
In that, we are not voting as a collective. Does our vote really count? And I would dare to say, no, it doesn't. Why doesn't it? In my opinion, the fact that we do not have a set agenda, we don't have an itemized list of requests / demands that we would like to see implemented. Here it is, you have the alphabet folks setting their agenda, coming together, backing a particular party or politician. We have not done that. So when people are encouraging you, oh, you should vote, you should vote. Yeah, and what? And we don't have an agenda? So we are still voting for people who are oblivious, completely, to even our presence or our existence.
Yeah.
But,
in addition to that, not cutting you, in addition to that,
when you vote,
especially for the president, they have already found a way that the popular vote may not necessarily be the ultimate experience.
Yeah, go ahead.
So again, here it is. We are thinking that we have some power, some imaginary power by our vote. Our vote, even if it's the most popular, may not necessarily
result in our candidate. Yeah, 1311. It's calling now, yeah.
Elected.
Okay, take care, guys. Thanks for that. Yeah, go ahead.
Chris. You understand?
Yes.
So, I mean, the voting idea to me is is just sending stuff in mud. Need what
well,
we read. Set agendas.
Yeah.
What we really need is to cultivate certain businesses. I mean, you still have people who have money who invested in what do you call these people? Bitcoin and this coin and that coin and all of that. When there are services that are necessary out here that they can come together and collectively implement a service or some sort of business that could generate employment within our communities and not just employment within our communities, it will also generate some sort of pride. We need these things, completely lock them. Are we saying that we voting is going to help? As a matter of fact, Russia, China, certain African countries have already got together and decided that they're not going to be using the U.S. dollar. Do you know that? Are you aware of that?
Yes, Sister Hallelujah. So 124 countries.
How much weight do you have to threaten somebody about what Sang-woo's done? You have no more way to shut up and sit down.
Your power has left you.
You don't have any more power. We already collectively joined together, and we are going to dump the U.S. dollar. So right above now, if you have U.S. dollar, dump it. Get rid of it. Buy some gold.
You can take it to the bathroom. You can take it to the bathroom and use it.
Well, it can't reach that stage yet, but it's slow. When people talk about voting, I am especially horrified that we're still trying to catch the tail of the horse that has gone through the stable. The horse done gone. We got to go from start to finish back in somebody. Start to finish. We setting you up and you taking this pressure. We gonna apply a certain amount of pressure on you so that you will perform in the manner in which we want you to perform. And it's your agreement that will make us vote for you. Those are the conditions. But we don't have that power because we don't have that unity. And as for Obama and reparations, if your father is finally, you haven't gotten chicken from anybody, and the day your father is at the barbecue pit and he's the king on the grill, if you didn't get chicken that day, ain't nobody else going to give you no chicken. Nobody's going to give you. The first thing they're going to say, you had a black president, he didn't give you reparations. Why do you want me to be the one to give this to you? And that's the seriousness of the time we're in.
Interesting.
So we're not getting anything unless we agitate, we fight, we find a way, or we do what they did. We steal it right back from Benin bronze all the way down to everything else.
Amen.
I said we got to probably steal it back. We got to be the new Tomb Raiders.
Amen. Amen.
So we have too many people who are Christians. And the problem with being Christian is that thou shalt not steal. And those things are embedded in us. And we have gotten to the stage where we have become domiciled. And we just sit sticking our hands out asking for alms. Why you see
Amen.
All these Tomb Raiders and all these different shows showing you how they come and they take what we had?
I just have to say.
We are the ones to say we're taking
no.
it back. When are we going to have that testicular, intestinal, and vaginal fortitude to say we're taking it back?
Okay. He has an agenda.
but he isn't clear on his agenda. His agenda are
no, not even China.
Everything else. I don't know. I'm starting to get a little bit.
929.
We're part of it. Now, I remember one time he didn't want me to talk to this person, but he said, you know, and how he got upset one time with Rick trying to talk to me because he thought that he introduced me to him and he was so concerned with going working with them and this and that. And the fact that, okay, you want to go with the government, but yet that day you had this woman doing this religion thing. It's like, you're hyping up the religion. You know what
We're
I mean?
Not hearing you very well, Dr. Robinson.
It's like you're going against the grain.
We're not hearing you very clearly.
Maybe it's me.
929.
No, he's got to get focused. He's got to get this, you know.
He got too much going on. He's not focused. Right. Exactly. Which way are you going?
So much going on. Should not be.
929-618. Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hi, Miss Sadie. Good evening. I'm Pastor Don Jr., CEO. Shouts out to all the WIN team members calling in. Exim, Texas. I am here. Thank you for everything. It's a great day, and it's Sunday, so it's start of a new week. Let's change the world. Shout out to Dr. Ron Robinson, Dr. Winborn.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. John, just for joining in.
Amen. Now, I got you, Ms. Shady. I know y'all doing some major stuff.
Always a pleasure to hear your voice. Always a pleasure.
Amen. But no, I'm sending out messages right now as we speak. I'm calling other people to get in. I got my winning team coming in. I already called them. I'm just waiting on them to call in. So I'm going on mute. Thank you for everything. Y'all need anything, I'm right here.
I say.
You know, I say. I just say amen.
But that could be amen. Let me see, love.
929-618. Nine two nine six one eight. Your mic is open.
929-618. You're on the mic. Maybe they need to get unmuted. So let's try for another caller.
Yes, hello.
Yes, welcome to the show. It's Sadie Sunday. You can, your mic is open.
Yes. I wanted to make a point, and my point is that in this country, we've been fighting for voting rights and stuff for a long time. And so there were organizations that, from Garvey to Malcolm, you know, so on, fighting. Well, Malcolm, not so much fighting for voters' rights, but fighting for separation, as Minister Farrakhan is still doing now. We are such a divided people, a fractured people in the world, Africans all over the world, all right, that it is not possible, okay, in this country where we're, I used to work for the Urban League and the NAACP and all these other organizations that came about because of our fighting and dying for civil rights, human rights, and voting rights, okay? And we are so fractured by religion. It was Christianity, or the white man's Christianity, you know, out of Rome and stuff and out of Europe, that brought this thing in to, you know, turn the other cheek, you know, and so on. If you read the slave Bible, you know, obey your master and so on, psychological warfare, and it's still going on. But if we're ever to get anything, and I have to lead on the minister. If we're ever to get anything, we have to take it on our own and control it on our own. There is a town in South Africa, racist, all white people. All right, they ask nothing from the government. Okay, they have people from all over the world that donates to their little, you know, 100, 100, 200, 300 acres of land to build houses, to support their people, you know, support those that are out of prison, you know, to rehab them and all this other kind of stuff. And they don't let anybody else in that community. All right? Black people are so fractured and we're so diverse in everything, we would never agree on one thing and how this should go because of tribalism. And it's still, our tribalism is still here. You know, so if I said, like, I can buy 750 acres of land in South Carolina, which I had the opportunity to do, and then we lost it, to build a town. That was my objective, to build a town. And we had to set up some laws in the town, you know, that we all would abide by for the restriction of some people in our town. All right, you have the African Americans who, some of us are the most liberal in the world, you know, and conservative. We are very conservative, you know. And then you have the cadre of Jamaicans, Trinidadians, Dominicans, you know, stuff that have a whole other situation and understanding and bringing up. These are black people too, you know. And to get together and to do this would be a very Herculean effect because we all have different attitudes and understandings about who we are, what we are, what have you. And it's been drilled into us. And I have to say African Americans through slavery here so much. You know, you come along to get along, you know. And there would be even issues there, you know. Minister Farrakhan is saying, you know, what we need is our own land and some money as far as reparations are concerned. You know, you give us a land and money, we'll go for ourselves. And that's true. Africa has land and money, but they haven't had the opportunity to develop the country themselves because of colonialism. And we call it just something different here now, but the same colonialism there is this colonialism here. The land isn't even theirs. It still belongs to somebody, an indigenous people. It's just a corporation that holds something or is managing something. You know, so if we don't devise something within ourselves, between ourselves, that we can agree on, you know, to get 1,000 acres of land, and we don't want no criminals. We don't want no pedophiles. We don't want no gays. We don't want no this and that and so on in that community. That's how that's going to have to be designed, you know. But you won't get that. You know, everybody deserves forgiveness. Everybody should be looked at as a human being. Some of us got issues, you know, and so on. So we have to think of another way to pool our money to support somebody else. Some of us pool our money to support somebody else, like these Europeans and these white racists support this town, this community, money coming from all over the world. Can we do that in Africa? We could. You know, we could support them. We could support our brothers and sisters and our ancestors there, you know, by making sure that the kids that go to school or come here for engineering or go to London for engineering and architecture and science and everything else, when they graduate, they have to stay in their country to help develop it. Meanwhile, the black people of the world would help them develop that. And then develop that, they gain their own independence, they gain their own control, and that control is through the black people of the world and benefits the black people of the world. we have to get into that type of agenda, I believe, my opinion, to do that. You know, rather than arguing about gays and all this other kind of stuff, which is getting us off track to what the situation. I don't care who you are, as long as you don't come in my house and try to change things. But helping to develop Africa or the Caribbean or whatever as they are independent, it's a black world problem, not just one country, one man, but for black people. It's our responsibility to donate, to help, to change, and not to let what happened in Africa happen again. They don't have a military. Russia is selling guns that don't work, you know, and so on. That's what's going to have to happen. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. And in 10 years from now, the United States dollar is strong now. But 10 years from now, it's not going to be worth anything. We should be investing in Africa.
Well, I have I do love the concept that you're broaching, my brother. One of the main things I think that you missed is that we need to stop our intellectuals from coming anywhere out of Africa to develop their knowledge base. We have sufficient universities in Africa.
Sure.
But because we give so much credence to, we give a whole lot of credence to what the white man has to offer, that we fail to see the strength of what we have locally. And that's why we keep coming for foreign news. But really, and truly, we need to look to ourselves for our own.
And I stand with you on that in my terms of saying, okay, if that's the case, then let's put our money and even our intellects. Because if people that were brought here by slaves can build the one of the strongest countries financially and military in the world, what do you think we can do if we set that toward Africa with our brain, with the brain power, with the education? You know, graduate, do what you have to do, go home, send money, you know, and so on, to help build that, so that our children's children will benefit, you know, from that. And Sister Canaric was talking about the Kingdom of Manna. There's enough money in there to help do that. You know, if it's not for military or war. You know, that could be done all through the 54 countries in Africa. But this tribalism thing that we have to get out of in Africa and in here.
Not just the tribalism thing. More importantly, we have to get out of the
colonial concerning, you know, what we should do in Africa. So we have time for the others to chime in.
Yeah. And
colonial mindset is what's more important to get rid of, because we think it's tribalism, but it's not necessarily tribalism, because African people, the Igbo respect the Yorubas respect the Igbo, and vice versa. So it's not
if you study the history of the Igbo and the Yoruba.
But more importantly, beyond the tribalism, what is most important to get rid of is this idea of Christianism, where there's a blue-eyed, blonde-haired person is coming to save us.
Yeah, we're getting away from that more so. But, yeah, we're getting, yeah, that's true. That's true.
There's a young lady got a YouTube show called Impact. She's from Nigeria.
Yes.
I think she's born here, or she's came here very young, because she speaks like an African-American girl. But what she did is in her show, she have all the Africans sit down. I'm talking about people in their 20s, 19, 20,
yeah.
21, 22, 25.
Those are the ones you gotta
reach. And she have all the Caribbean kids sit down. She have all the Africans sit down. She have all the African-American kids sit down. And you have to listen, people. You have to listen to what the young Caribbean kids are singing, whether they're here in the West or whether they're back home in the Caribbean. You have to listen to see what they think about each other. You have to listen what a Nigerian kid in Nigeria thinks about African Americans, what African American kids think about Africans, what Caribbean kids think about Africans, what Africans think about Caribbean people. If y'all listen to these young people, we have not moved. I'm 73, and the same stuff that we've been talking about in the 60s and the 70s, African American, Caribbean, Caribbean born, Caribbean here, Caribbean different from here, different from there, Africans who were born here, Africans who were born in the motherland, different understanding, different persuasions, young kids affected by what their mother told them, what their grandparents told them, all this mythical stuff about America. But nobody, I'm going to tell you one thing that impacted me, not so much the differences are still there. The clashes between the African-Americans and the Africans born in Africa, the Caribbeans, and the Caribbean Americans that are born here, that class and that this civilization and that societal problem, it still exists. And I'm talking about kids 30 years and younger, all right? But let me tell you what the biggest thing I noticed about them. All of us, we have no problems with the European. Nobody never say, what is the problem with the European? All of the Africans, all of the Caribbeans, all of the African Americans, they only argue and find fault with each other. Black people that look like you, I never hear one of them say, white Americans did this, Europeans did that, colonialism did this, imperialism did that. They all argue amongst themselves. Confusion, confusion, confusion. God say where there's confusion, I'm not in it. If you see confusion like that, that means somebody is causing that confusion. And we got to stop pointing fingers at each other. And one young African-American girl said, she said, I don't care if you don't like me, but at least when you come, have compassion to understand where I'm coming from. If I'm a welfare recipient, maybe I didn't have a good mother and father like you did. Have compassion. Maybe I don't believe in Jesus, but maybe because I have an atheist parent, but have compassion. We don't have compassion for each other. We don't give a damn about each other, but we have compassion for the colonialists, the imperialists, the Caucasian, the European. That's where we have our compassion. We gotta stop and listen and understand and have compassion. People are trying. There's probably 30%, 45% of the population of Caribbean people, African American people, African people from Africa who are trying to educate, and bring people together. Is so difficult because when you don't have a compassion for another person, when you don't give a damn anymore, it's like that wife who gave up on that husband. The husband will give up on that wife, and you divorce, and you have no more compassion for that person. You don't give a damn whether they boot hog or die poke, like we say in South Carolina. So we don't have compassion. That's the problem. I have feelings for a black person in the Caribbean who was hurt because what Dr. Amen. King said, when you hurt, I hurt. Nobody want to quote Dr. King. Everybody want to quote everybody else. Everybody they consider a revolutionary. Everybody consider that powerful and want to fight. But nobody want to quote Dr. King because Dr. King had compassion. He said, if somebody in the Caribbean hurt, I'm hurt. If somebody in Africa is hurt, I'm hurt. If somebody bleeds in South Carolina, North Carolina, Mississippi, or somebody in America, some black person in America hurt, Amen. I'm hurt. And that's how I feel. My compassion is I love you, and I want the best for you. We got to start loving each other and wanting to see the best. You beat your children not because you're trying to hurt them. You beat them because you love them and you want them to do the best. But that's our internal love. And so once we have an internal love for each other, when somebody somewhere else is suffering, I'm suffering. Unrest anywhere is unrest everywhere. The thing that we don't have anymore, we don't have that compassion. We don't have an internal maternal love. And women should have it. The creators of the world. Women are more compassionate than men, I would say. but I'm just saying we're finding more dismal feelings amongst women who gonna drive the compassion, the love. It's the women. The men get to a point, you mess with them so much, they're gonna get so angry, they're gonna just turn away and say, the hell with you. But women have that internal maternal instinct, motherly love that keeps it going. But people, we got to learn to have compassion. We got to learn, even though my brother don't say nice things about me, but I got to try to reach him. You know, people tell me stuff. Or I get called. I'm not trying to build myself up, because I do international finance and economic development in the Caribbean, in Africa. I work with all kinds of organizations, and people call me every day from Africa and the Caribbean. Help me with this. Help me with that. But they're easily to criticize me as well. As an African-American, they don't criticize me personally, but they criticize my culture, they criticize my history, they criticize my people. But I tell them, I say, that's fine. Constructive criticism is fine. But where is your, in your criticism, are you trying to help me? Are you trying to condemn me? Are you trying to destroy me? As a parent, our criticism and our discipline for our children is to build them up, not to hurt them. And we as a people got to learn how to be compassionate towards each other. Maybe my brother didn't educate himself like I did. Maybe he didn't have the ability to be travel all over the world and get to see different people and have a compassion. But you have to, you know, we have to have a more compassionate approach to our unity. And I don't see that. I don't see that in the young people. I don't see it in the old people. I just don't see it. I don't know where it's going, but there are a few good brothers and sisters on YouTube. And you can find them. They're trying to connect with the brothers and sisters in the Caribbean. They're trying to connect with the brothers and sisters in Africa. And they have compassion in their heart. But they're being disstyled by the approach and by the people that they meet that gives them no kind of hope, because they give them destructive criticism instead of constructive criticism. So until we as a people understand, because God said it, not me. God said, you cannot love me whom you cannot see and not love your brother whom you can see. So I take it from there. And so we got to learn to love ourselves and love our people, embrace our culture. We're one of the greatest creations that ever happened, because we're the first. And the example of humanity and love is coming from us. So we can't get that compassion for each other. Nobody's going to never give it to us, and nobody's never going to scrutinize it for us, because the enemy come to destroy and kill and steal and divide whoever he can. And Master did a damn good job of it, because I was so surprised when I heard these 21-year-old Caribbean kids, 21-year-old African-American kids, and 21-year-old African kids saying the same thing that I heard 60 years ago, the same kind of stigma, the same kind of disunity, the same kind of social ills. People, you think, do that make sense to anybody that we're still there after 60 years? Our children are having the same discussions that we had 70 years ago, 100 years ago. The discourse, the grown people got to wake up. You are a terrible example, because these kids, when they sit down and talk, they say, my mother said, my grandmother said, my daddy said, my granddaddy said. They're quoting us. Their delusion of who they are as a people to find, and some of them in the group are trying, they're trying their best to love everybody black. They're trying their best to bring everybody together, but then they can think in their head, oh, this one said that to me, this one did that to me. And I'm just saying, after these amounts of years, do we, the adults, the grown folk, the mothers, the fathers, the grandmothers, the grandfathers, I'm a great-great-grandfather myself, am I living an example that when I leave, my children, my grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren would inherit a spirit of compassion? I hope and I pray that these young folks get a spirit of compassion, get a spirit of love. One young brother, African-American young brother, he loved Africa so much, He tattooed it on his arm. Africa, unity, history.
And kids
but
are leaving
getting,
here.
He's not getting received. Right, but he's not getting received.
No, they don't have no
in that level of understanding. Wait, he's not receiving. He's not getting received. So until the day that the elders, us, learn how to communicate with us, when we learn how to communicate, learn how to get together, that's going to be the change of the society. Because right now, these young folks are confused. They love each other. They want to come together. They look and they see the similarities in the culture, whether you're in the Caribbean or you're in Africa or you're in America. The children see the similarities in the culture. They see that we do have a shared African history, cultural connection. They don't know how to put it together because they remember what mama said, what daddy said. They see the society right now today. Everybody's fragmented. Everybody's stigmatized. Everybody's separate. There's internal racism. There's internal bigotry. That people don't know how to get together. I got enough damn sense at my age right now. I got enough damn sense to know that if any black person, I don't care where the hell you come from, come to America and succeed, that's a blessing to me. It's a blessing to me. And I tell all African Americans, anybody, I don't care where the hell they come from, Caribbean, Africa, Brazil, wherever they come from, Asia, if they come and succeed, that's a blessing. Embrace it, love it, unify people. Let's learn to love each other. I don't know what to say. I'm just beguiled by these young people that I saw, and I'm gonna do a big thing on it on my show on Friday night. But I was just surprised that these young kids are still stigmatized by the same fragmentation that I experienced as a young man traveling to Africa, traveling to the Caribbean, going to international schools, meeting with kids from other places in the world, kids whose mother and father got more money than I ever thought of, be it they from Caribbean or they're from Africa, but to see the different kinds of socialization for those who have and those who have not. And I'm not talking about the white people. I'm talking about us black folks, the ones that have and the have not, two different kinds of socialization. The one that's educated and not, two different kinds of socialization. And so, but I'm still saying I feel compassion. If we're loving and compassionate, and our directives are directed by God Himself, because God said, whatever you do for me, do it with love. If we have a compassion for one another, if we really want to see one another do good and not look at each other with disdain or hatred or internal psychological ill feelings, we can make it. That's the only way we're going to make it. If I see you as me and you see me as you, and they ain't no ifs, ands, buts, no high eyes and small u's, I'm better, you're less, you went to Yale, you went to the street corner, you got drugs, I got books, all that stuff got to be put out the way. We have to have a compassion for each other, and we got to learn how to come together. That's the only way I see it's going
to
happen.
Dr. Evans, you have me laughing because, you know, I just like the fact that you went to Princeton, I went to the street corner, you know, that was just the school of hard knocks, you know.
The school of hard knocks.
It can happen.
That's it. And I got some hard knocks.
But I'm just be honest with Sister Sadie. I am so surprised.
Yes.
21-year-old kids, be they come from the Caribbean, be they never been in America, and be that some of these kids were 21, they were from Africa, they never been in America, some of them African-Americans, never been to Africa, and they got the same stigmatism that
same
I grew up with.
Same situation.
And
yes,
I'm saying to myself, I'm saying to myself, after all these years,
nothing has changed.
Hey, listen, it's just like skin against dark.
They're quoting their mother and father. They're quoting their grandparents. And so I'm saying to myself, that means we have not made an impact whatsoever. We have not.
Right.
I count myself in as a failure because I haven't made an impact to these young people. That means our young people have not been encouraged to us to love each other, to come together and fight. But they want to. They want to. They, you know, they have this, you can see inside of all of the other this delusion, they have this compassion to want to be together. They want to love each other. They love being black. They love the culture. They love the music. They love. They even find common areas of music and history, but they find it very difficult in the terms of the conditions. And it's all the imperialism and colonialism. It's all the psychosocialization. It's all a part of conditioning. You know, I tell people, you know, one thing when I was studying, we talked a lot about socialization, and it's all about that. And people want to come out of that. People want to be better. People want to be more historical. But they're finding when they get to these places where they go to research for their history, whether they travel to the Caribbean, they travel to Africa, and you know, and they're not finding that reception, and they're finding that history, they're not finding that cultural connection, and it's beguiling them. That they're finding all this delusionary. You know, some kids say, my friends are from the Caribbean, and they said, and they love me, and I love them, but they keep telling me these negative things about me, my culture, not me, but the culture in general. And so the same thing, young boy said he's friends with the African people, and the parents keep telling him negative things about him, not about him personally, but just connecting his culture as his negative things. So I'm just saying, I don't understand all of that. You know, I hear it. I didn't know it was that massive.
Yeah.
You watch these shows and you listen to these young people talk, and they're 16 and they're 17 and they're 18 and 19, and you saying to yourself, damn, that's the same thing I faced umpteen years ago. So I don't know. I don't know how
have
we're going to change that.
Have you ever considered that it's thinking about this false freedom that these generations have grown up in? You know, when we have spent so much time trying to make everything better for our children, give them what we haven't had, you know, and stuff, and leading on the system to free us, you know, to give us this and that to help us, and where nobody is responsible as far as doing something and achieving it and going forward and sharing that. Of that with it, you people are not thinking that this false freedom is also a cancer, you know, in us. We deserve something, and we're not even thinking about it. The other night I saw what would bless my heart is these two 18-year-old boys left the United States, and they had some money, you know, they went into the music and stuff, and they went to the United States and went to Africa. And I don't remember exactly the one was Tanzania and it was someplace else. And they're 21 years old now. They've been to many countries in Africa where they've started up business and they're doing well. But at 18, that means just out of high school, they decided this place is not for us anymore. And they went to Africa and they're succeeding. You know, there's not always, you know, you're going to always have the poor, you know, but even the poor got to work for somebody, you know, and so on. And I see that with all the things that we're saying about what we should do, what we don't have and everything else. I'm blessed to see things. And when I make this trip over there, hopefully by June, to one or two countries, that, and I've spent enough time, doing it, I would love to see that, and it's there. There's always two stories in the Naked City, you know, you know,
I agree with you. There's always two stories, but I'm saying it comes a point where the story got to submerge into the reality.
Yeah.
Reality,
yeah.
The Bible says the truth will always be with you, but some are going to love the lie. The Bible
yes.
said in the end, they're going to know the truth. They're going to know exactly what the truth is. They're going to smack them in their face. They're going to prefer the lie, and they're going to endorse the lie, and they're going to push the lie. Why? Because
yes.
it's easier. It's sweeter. It's nicer. You know, it's hard for me to say to people that this fragmentation between my Caribbean brothers and sisters, my African brothers and sisters, and so-called, you know, African-American, Black-American, whatever y'all want to call yourself these days.
I hate to use the term.
Fragmentation that's happening, but it's real. And so all I can do is say to people, from my experience and all these years being on this earth, all I can tell people, it's real, it's there, and here is a remedy. The remedy is if you're trying to give constructive criticism and you're trying to build
up
your brothers and sisters, if you're working with compassion because you love them, you will get more with honey than you would with vinegar. And so I'm saying that we have to be more compassionate. I have to love my brothers and sisters, wherever they are located, in order to help them. Because when I go there to help them, no matter how much money I bring there, if I ain't real, they ain't gonna receive me.
But if they see
my compassion and my love and my hope and my desire to help, because one thing about us, we just trying to shuck and jive till we can get what we want. And that's what the problem is. We all of us over the world, we have to do what we have to do to get to the bottom dollar so that we can get rich and do all these things. But that's not what it's all about. It's about the power that the money can bring to a certain place or a certain time, a certain event. And so, you know, you got to be real about these things. But you got to be realistic. As much as it's not nice to hear, nobody wants to hear this stuff, but you got to say it. And you got to be real with it. And you got to be compassionate about it. I say it because I know God knows it, the record could speak for itself. I'm in love. I'm in love with my people, and that's why I say it. I say it as a grandfather figure. You know, I say it as a father, a brother, a brother, whatever family unities you want to find out it is. You know, we have a saying in the South. We have a saying in America now, fam. Everybody's fam. Everybody's fam. You know, it's fam short for family. Fam, what's up, fam? And you know, but you can say all those nice things, but if you ain't got if that's not in your heart, it's not going to reflect on your outcome. Your income and your outcome is going to be different. If your income got something else and your outcome got something else, it ain't going to work. So I'm just saying that we have to have these discussions as much as we don't want to, and we got to be compassionate. That I'm discussing this because why? Because I want to see you do better. I want to see you have a prosperous life. I want to see you successful. And I want to tell you some of the pitfalls in my life so you don't, like I tell my children, you tell your children your pitfall, not because you want to let them know you was a damn failure at being young. You want to let them know, you know, that you know what the deal is and that you're educating them so they won't end up end up having the same problems when they get a certain age. So, you know, it's a thing of, I believe if your heart is in it, I believe if you're really compassionate about it and you're honest about it, God is going to bless whatever it is that you bring to the table. But we're going to have to learn, we as a people going to have to learn to deal with each other because we can't run, we can't hide, there's no place to go. If you love the Caribbean, you love vacation in the Caribbean, you want to deal with your brothers and sisters. If you love Africa, you love going to Africa, and it's a beautiful place, you want to deal with your brothers and sisters. If you want to come to America for whatever the reasons are, I don't know, people come for 100 million, 1,000 reasons, you want to deal with your brother and sister. We can't run from each other. We're going to have to deal with each other anyway, but we're going to have to learn how to deal with each other in a manner which is supportive, which is a good reception and bringing us together. You know what I'm saying? Is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's what it is.
Ashe.
I was surprised to find out Smokey Robinson had a disdain for Africa and he ain't ever performed in Africa. I was like, wow, you know, And he did a thing on being Black American and all that stuff. But the brother said, you know, the problem is, Smokey, you ain't never been there. So if you have any ill feelings or anything, or, you know, you got to go there and see for yourself, you know. But I'm just saying, and there's a lot of smokies in the world. You know, there's millions of smokies in the world. They ain't never been no place, but they don't lack it. But they never been there. So your criticism is artificial. Until you go there and you know what you're talking about, you know. But I'm just saying, these kinds of social ills will make a Smokey Robinson, will make him have a disdain for Africa to the point where, you know, Smokey's been in the music industry for 70 years. He could have, he was, since he was 15, 14 years old, he could have made trips to Africa and made all kind of crazy money. But whatever, I don't, I'm not saying I know exactly he have a disdain for Africa, but I know that he don't want to be called African-American, and he doesn't perform in Africa. That's enough to tell me there's some kind of disdain. I don't know if he performed in the Caribbean as well. I don't know if he did or not. I'm not, that I'm not sure of. But I know that he never performed in Africa. But that the conditions will make you, you know.
Well, Dr. Robinson, just to interrupt a little bit, that's not surprising because a lot of African Americans from that time who were entertainers, they try to identify themselves with being not black because they were not of the darker hue. And Smokey Robinson, I guess, coming from a mixed race because he's a light skin with light eyes, he probably gravitate more towards the white people. But that sense of insecurity and low self-esteem, that was something that happened along the 60s, 70s. So I'm glad that we're in 2023 and has scarcely eradicated, but it has lessened quite a lot in terms of there's a lot of black people now associating themselves with being black and with being African, and also they're trying to identify their African spirituality. So I see it's a new day dawning for a lot of new, younger black Americans who would tell themselves and note themselves they are not white and they came from a place, and what we have to instill in them, it was a glorious place, a wonderful people, a place where we were once kings and queens. And I instilled that with my nieces and my nephews who are in their 20-somethings, because from what they have been told, and what history has reported, they would remember slavery in such a way, but nobody's telling them of the excellence from which they came.
Yes.
So this we have to also show to our children to encourage them along. So this, as elders, as we are approaching that type of pinnacle, we have to pull them up knowing, hear what, your young kings and queens, and give them a self-confidence once more.
Yes. My Catholic.
At this point, all mics are open. Everybody, mic is open.
My check.
Okay,
all
mics are open.
352-363.
Mike check.
Hey, Pastor Don.
Yes, sir.
I know your father is big in the music industry. I'm curiosity. Have Smokey Robinson ever performed in the Caribbean?
Yes, they have, and not only they have, I wasn't instrumental in booking that show, but I do know people who perform. It's a whole different, when you go
I was just asking one person, Smokey Robinson, that's all, just the one person. Just the one guy.
And I'm here with you, Dr. Ron. I'm texting my people in, and they coming. I'm getting text messages, they calling in right now.
Okay.
Something that surprised me.
Yeah.
Your mics are open, people. It's Sadie Sunday. Please join us with your conversation. We're waiting for a few more important guests to come in and join in. Pastor Johnson, Don Johnson's bringing in his people as well. But here we are talking about the things that matter to us most, the things that we normally wouldn't talk about, that we expose on City Sunday, the things we really want to discuss from a true point aspect where we can freely talk of what we actually feel that is going on. So here we are joining City Sunday as to what's happening. We have touched on various subjects. We talked on Mr. Trump, his indictment. We touched on Africa, that the currency is rising. And we are very happy to be part of the rise of the African nation, of which we are part of, because we melanated people, we were once kings and queens, had been taken away from us simply because of disobedience. But here we are to restore ourselves back to that joy and that royal throne from which we came from. Join us as we get into our City Sunday topics. All mics are open.
989-397, your mic is open.
Yeah, I'm here. This is 18 Letters just popping in.
Oh, you're welcome to the show.
I just popped in.
Your mic is open.
Yeah, I don't know what the topic is, so I was just sitting here listening really quick. I had nobody told me to call in, so I called in.
All right, what we were discussing, we discussed the fact that we're having events with Mr. Trump on Tuesday. I don't know how much of the show you heard. We spoke also of the fact that the American dollar is slowly dwindling away because African nations and other nations have come together to form that one currency, which will be that one money will have great value over the American dollar. So we're watching the fall of the American dollar and the rise of that $1 that 124 nations have come together to have money back.
Yeah, what do you think? Like, is this monumental if he actually goes to jail?
What's your
question? That would be the first person ever that ever went to jail. Would that be monumental?
Well, it would be the first, but what's your take on it, really, as to what's happening?
You said what else?
How do you feel as to what's happening, despite what the news is saying?
That kind of musically, you said? Can you repeat the question? I didn't hear you.
No, I said despite what the news is telling us, what the media, the 6 o'clock news and the various media platforms is telling us, what do you feel is going to happen, or why is the situation facing this former president?
I think he needs to go to jail, because if he doesn't, that would put a point that somebody can be above the law, which everybody here should not be above the law, type shit. So he needs to go to jail, but I don't think he's going to do it. What they're going to do is take a fucking photo, they're going to let him sit at home, and he's not going to do it any time for real. He might get put on probation or anything, but what does that show to the whole world, though, that we don't give a fuck about this shit, for real?
Well, interesting in your comment. We were leaning towards the fact that this man may not be going to jail, and what it is he has done that other people have done as well, or what kind of game that is really being played while we, the regular people, sit back and a world is being pulled over our eyes. So we watch the game as it continues. As we said, let the show go on.
But, like, if you just let him get away, he just did a whole white-collar crime. He needs to get put the fuck up. But at the same time, that's our president, so that's our representative. Will was one of our presidents. No other president went to jail. No other president has ever been an indictment. Like, we can get into it if you want to get into it.
Yeah, well, that's true. He's a history-making president. So we watch as the saga continues. We watch for next Tuesday, it's a matter of two more days, when we see what is really going on or what could happen or what is structured to happen, because it seemed quite theatrical. It seemed like the play has already been written and somebody's reading the script. So we watch carefully and we observe as best as we can do from a spectator standpoint. Yes. Yeah. Okay, caller, so is there anybody else in the studio that would like to follow Sunday evening?
Can you repeat that? Hello?
Is there anyone else that would like to join in for our Sunday evening conversation? We also talk about the fact that other countries are getting joined together to put one money together. Are you aware of that as well?
Well, I did hear that there was a pastor on.
Yes.
And I wanted to challenge Pastor.
That would be Pastor Don Johnson. Are you still on the show?
Pastor Johnson,
are you there? I'm right here. My name is Pastor Don Jr., not Don Johnson, not Don.
Sorry, Pastor Don Jr. My apologies. Sadie is not your name. I do apologize, but the Queen would like to have a word with you. So let me sit back and enjoy this conversation.
No, go ahead. No, I'm not hating it. I'm just want to make sure you say my name properly while you're
That's
addressing
right, Pastor Don Jr.
Don Jr.
That would be go ahead, Queen.
When we have the influx of the Christian community that dictates most of the African narrative to the extent that the indigenous practices of the people are frowned upon and have been replaced by Christianity, what do you see as a future for Africans who have come to associate Christianity with the image of a white Jesus that is prevalent amongst themselves? Can they look at themselves or their indigenous or the people that still practice some of the indigenous tribal practices and see that it's connected or entwined with the Godhead?
Queen, I want to first off say that's an excellent question, and I heard it, I got it. I'm about to give you an answer, but be fair. Put your seatbelt on. I am a pastor for God. I'm not a pastor for who you believe in, what you believe in, how you believe in. I serve the Most High. With me serving the Most High, I don't know how you're going to feel about what I'm about to say, but I'm going to keep 100 up. Not everybody's going to do it right. In the Bible, it's in black and white, plain English. You do this, you go there. I don't change the Bible. I don't add to it. And especially in the Bible, they say do not take or add anything to this word. With that being said, everybody has their own sense of choice. If they choose to do the right thing and they choose to do the wrong thing, regardless of that, the sun still won't come up and rise and set. I'm saying that to say, to answer your question, I am all about people being proactive about God, but I'm really about people actually serving God. It's not just being proactive. It sounds good because you're live on the radio. It's many good listeners. I'm sending out text messages, all that. I'm here with you right now. We have a moment in time, and God will reward me for me telling you the right thing. And I'm not taking away from your research. You did the research. You did your due diligence. But again, God is omnipresent, and His plan is bigger than mine. So I can't answer that question, but I can tell you, I am working fervently. I'm calling 300 people to get on these radio shows. Keep talking about it. As long as you're talking about it, that's what's going to change the world.
Pastor, when you say you're serving God, when you pray or when you bless someone or when you pray for someone or a situation, do you say in Jesus' almighty name?
Amen. Every prayer I send up, it has to be in Jesus' name. It's not a prayer if I don't send up in Jesus' name. So I'm sorry. I don't understand the question.
Do you finish your prayers by saying in Jesus' almighty name?
Yeah, amen, I do.
Okay, so I am asking you, in that case, what image is conjured to the average person when you say Jesus? Isn't it the image of a white man with blonde hair and blue eyes?
Oh, no. I'm not painting these scriptures. I cannot be aware of the images that's portrayed, but at the end of the day, my spirit, as I'm speaking to you right now, the Holy Spirit is instructing me. We have to remember God is omnipresent. That means he can be everywhere and anywhere at any time. So I'm with you, but I'm not with you. Does that make sense?
Well, no, you cannot be a little bit pregnant. You either are or you are not. So in this case, when you're telling me I'm with you but I'm not, are you pregnant?
No, I don't
know.
Hold on, Queen, hold on.
Let me ask you something, Pastor.
At the end of the day, you're not going to contest who I am as a man. You're not going to contest what I believe in. And you're not going to get me on a radio show while we live. I do not play these games. You're in my office right now. And I'm sorry. Please excuse me. But this is Donnell Green speaking to you. I'm a man of God. I've been serving God all my life. I don't know anything else. I do not know
nothing
else.
I'm not refusing that, Pastor. I am saying if I tell you house or if I tell you car, do you see the letters or do you see the image? Because it has been said.
No. I feel the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit made me move. I don't want to get into whether Jesus is black or white. I get into what he do. And when I pray and I send the blessings up, blessings come down. At the end of the day, I can't tell you how to serve these. What you see, that's what you see out of your own perspective. From my perspective, Jesus has given me all my life. And that's what I'm believing in.
When you say that it doesn't matter what Jesus looks like, when people look at themselves,
No, ma'am. I would not be confused of people. I'm Pastor Don, Junior CEO. That's all I represent right now. I got 300 other women being members listening to your words. So when I say what I'm saying to you. I'm speaking to you direct. You talking
and
to me? I'm talking to you. At the end of the day, you can't put me in a corner. You cannot put me in a corner and tell me how to serve you. I don't do it like that. I'm sorry. No.
Wasn't about your service. I'm simply saying the fact is that black people cannot see themselves as being
No, ma'am. You're speaking to one man right now. One man. I represent 300 black people, but I got 300. I got a lot of people. At the end of the day, no matter what you say, I'm not giving you that energy. I'm not.
Had a little bit too much of that communion wine.
Okay, this is 8:59. Let me interrupt the both of you all at this time, and we must get to the top of the hour. We have 1 minute left. This is Sadie Sunday, and you know, for whatever is all said and done, on Sadie Sunday we speak the truth. And I must say quite clearly here, image is very important because we paint images that reflect in people's mind rather than in their heart. But we'll continue this show on another Sunday. And Queen, I thank you for bringing up the very uncomfortable subject that is Sadie Sunday, where we're not afraid to discuss the truth. We sweep nothing under the rug and we give thanks unto everything. This is Sadie saying good night.
I'm going to spread the news that if it feels this good, get it used. Oh, you just keep on.
All right.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused. But don't worry,
your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in
control, y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find your praise
within your heart.
Heart.
Hold it close.
Hold
Bye.